Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting straight into it. We're looking at the City of Cape Town's Building Development Management Information Guidelines series.
That's right. It's basically the official rule book.
Exactly. For pretty much any change you want to make to your property in the city, our mission today, give you the key info you need to navigate this, well, let's be honest, potentially dense process quickly.
Yeah, we're trying to cut through the jargon, you know, get to the heart of Building Development Management, or BDM.
BDM. So what is it, fundamentally?
Fundamentally, it's about control. Regulation. It covers basically everything you might do physically to your property.
And this control, it isn't optional, is it? It's not just a nice to have from the municipality.
No, definitely not. It's rooted in national law. The National Building Regulations and Building Standards Act. That's what gives local authorities like the city the power and the duty, actually, to oversee building work.
Okay, so what kind of work are we talking about? What falls under their control?
Well, the scope is broader than many people think. There are four main things you need to keep in mind.
Four main areas, okay.
First, obviously constructing completely new buildings.
Right, makes sense.
Second, any significant alteration, extension, or even conversion of a building you already have.
Alteration, extension, conversion, got it.
Third, and this one catches people, changing the official use of a property.
Even without construction.
Even with zero construction.
Right.
And fourth, demolition, taking a structure down.
Okay, demolition too. That leads us perfectly into the big question, really. When exactly do you need to get the city's approval?
Guess.
Because we found some rules in here that seem, well, likely to surprise homeowners. Things you might not expect.
They often do.
Yeah.
Take major repairs, for instance. Like underpinning a foundation because of settling.
Right. Serious structural work.
Exactly. Or, say, re-roofing. If you're changing to a much heavier material, like putting thatch on where you had tiles, you need plans passed for that.
That's specific. Okay. Yeah. What about that change of use you mentioned?
Yeah, that's a big one. So imagine you have a standard house, single residential. If you decide to convert it internally into, say, three separate flats.
Even if you don't knock down walls or build anything new externally.
Precisely. Even if it's just internal changes to create separate units, that change in how the property is used triggers the need for approval. It's about the function changing.
Fascinating. And garden sheds. I saw something about that.
Yes, the humble garden shed or tool shed. Look, it's bigger than 3 square meters, which isn't very big. You technically need approval.
3 square meters. Okay.
Same goes for enclosing a porch.
Right.
Or a balcony or a stoop. Just putting walls or windows around it.
So these small projects, they're often where people slip up on compliance.
Very often, yeah. They seem minor, but the rules apply.
Okay, but let's give people some good news. What doesn't typically need approval? We found an example, right? Windows.
Right. Replacement windows.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, you're okay if.
Mm-hmm.
And there are conditions.
It's always conditions.
Always. So if the existing frames aren't load-bearing, you're not making the hole in the wall any bigger. And critically, you're not removing or blocking a required fire escape route.
Good to know. Saves a bit of paperwork, potentially. Now, the actual application process, it's described as 10 steps. Where does it start?
Step one is crucial. It's about getting prerequisite approvals before you even submit your main building plans.
Prerequisite approvals? What are those exactly? Sounds like jargon.
It is a bit jargon heavy, yeah. They're often called deviations or departures, basically exceptions to the standard zoning rules for your property.
Okay, like what? Give me an example.
So maybe the zoning rules say you can only build up to a certain size, a certain bulk. If you want to build bigger than that, you need approval for increased bulk first.
I see.
Or maybe the rules say you have to stay, say, 3 meters away from your boundary line, the building line. If you want to build closer, maybe 1 meter away, you need approval for that relaxation before submitting the house plans.
So you fight those zoning battles first.
You have to win them first, yeah. Otherwise, the city won't even seriously look at your construction drawings.
And then, critically, when can you actually start building?
Only, and this is really important, only after your plans are officially stamped past AD, you've had a commencement inspection done by a building inspector on site.
What happens if you jump the gun? Start early.
Big trouble. You're almost guaranteed a stop works order. You might have to undo work, which is expensive, or, worst case, they could order demolition of the unapproved work. Don't risk it.
Okay. And timelines. How long does the city legally have to decide on plans?
The guidelines state up to 30 days for smaller buildings, that's under 500 square meters.
Great.
And up to 60 days for larger ones, 500 square meters or more. So, you know, factor that waiting time in.
Now let's talk about refusal. The city can obviously say no. What are some of the grounds for refusal? Some seemed quite subjective.
They can be, yes. For example, a plan can be refused if the city believes the resulting building will, and this is the phrasing, spoil the appearance of the area,
yay,
or be unsightly or objectionable.
Wow, that's quite broad.
It is. They also look at potential impact on neighbors. Will it cause nearby property values to drop? That can be grounds for refusal.
And practical things, too, like flooding.
Yes. If the site is deemed prone to flooding, they can refuse it on safety grounds. These points give the municipality significant power to shape how an area looks and feels, beyond just checking technical drawings.
Okay, let's say you navigate all that. You get approval. You build according to plan. What's the final step? The absolute last hurdle?
The occupancy certificate.
Ah, the OC.
Exactly. Once construction is finished, you request it. If everything is compliant with the approved plans and regulations, they should issue it within 14 days.
And you cannot legally live in or use the new building before you have this.
Absolutely not. No formal occupation, no moving in until that occupancy certificate is physically issued. It's the final sign-off. Compliance is literally the key to your new front door.
So from the legal foundations of BDM right through to getting that final certificate allowing you to move in, it's all about compliance, isn't it? Every single stage.
It really is. Comprehensive oversight.
Okay. Let's wrap up with a final thought for you to consider. Something drawn from the details.
Report.
An approved building plan. It's only valid for 1 year. And once you start building, you can't just stop indefinitely. Work can't be suspended for more than 3 consecutive months.
That's right. It's in the fine print.
So think about that pressure. A 1-year clock starts ticking on your approval. And once you break ground, you basically have to keep going with only short pauses allowed. What does that imply about the financial planning, the logistics, the sheer momentum required from property owners once they commit to building?
It implies you need everything lined up perfectly. Finance, contractors, materials. There's very little room for error or delay once that approval comes through and the first spade hits the ground. It demands rapid, continuous execution.
Something to definitely bear in mind. That's all we have time for on the deep dive.